Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Hey, Jerry, can you give me like a half a bar more, please? All right, how many people here this morning would like to learn how to worry more? Any takers? How many of you really feel that your life would be improved if you could just spend just another hour worrying every day? Anybody? Well, whether you know worry as an occasional visitor or a constant companion, it can be painful. When you worry, it can be a slight distraction or a force that completely immobilizes you. We'd all like to worry less, except for like my mom. My mom, if there would have been a gold medal in worrying, my mom would have been a world record holder. I mean, my mother was not happy unless she had something to worry about. You know, I don't know if it's growing up through the Depression. I have no idea. I just know mom was never happy unless there's something that she'd worry about. And seriously, if everything was going great, she worried because that means that something bad's about to happen. All right, none of us want to worry more. We want to instead be able to get through troubled times without worrying. And our first responders that are here today, I'm sure have seen more troubled things than they even want to even remember sometimes, you know, whether it's a friend's house that's burned down or someone that's been in a terrible accident or whatever that may be. They've seen troubled times, but it's not just our first responders. We all deal with troubled times. I'm pretty sure that everybody here has had something at one time or another that's caused them trouble. Kids. I mean, those of us that have kids, we can just stop right there. You know? I had a Chevette. I really hate to admit that. That's the only new car I ever owned. It was a 1981 Chevette. I'd like to say it was a really smart purchase, but it wasn't. It was so bad that there was times when we were going uphill and trying to pass something, I kept trying to remember the scripture in the Bible said, "This too shall pass," and I knew it wasn't talking about my car because it wouldn't pass squat. You know, downhill with a tailwind, I might be able to pass something, but no. Well, how should we handle tough times? The passage that Lynn read today helps us understand that. First thing we need to realize is we need to worry about nothing. They've done studies. They do studies on everything, you know. But in a study, they said that 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are in the past, and we can't do anything about it. Unless you have a time machine, I don't. 12% that we worry about is other people's criticisms of us. That's their problem, not ours. 10% is needless health concerns. That would be Rachel. Now, Rachel, the worst thing that ever happened was finding one of those big red medical books that told you all the different diseases, or the internet. "Oh, my finger's tingling. I'm having a stroke. Or I have cancer. I have 3 days to live." You know, I mean, it's needless health concerns. That leaves 8% of the things that we worry about that are even legitimate. And if we think about that 8%, we can look at Matthew 6:34 that says that we need to not worry about things, that God takes care of the flowers of the field and the birds. He'll take care of us. We don't need to worry. So the first thing that we need to do to handle tough times, just stop worrying about it. Now, number two, it tells us to pray about everything. Does it mean that? Well, yeah, it does. There's a book I read, have it in my office somewhere. I have not organized my books since I got them on the shelves, well, most of them on the shelves. But in there somewhere is a book by a man named Juan Carlos Ortiz. And in his book called Living with Jesus Today, he talks about prayer. And he talks about how prayer is a constant communication with God. And it kind of gets silly if you think about it too much, but it's like he'll go, you know, in the morning, I open up the closet. What are we wearing today, God? Let's talk about it. Because prayer is simply communication. You know? Used to be easy for me on Sunday mornings. Because I had a blue tabbed collar, you know, Catholic-looking shirt. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I had a blue one and a gray one. If the blue one was clean, I wore that. If the gray one was clean, I wore that. That was my biggest decision I had to make. Now I have to figure out what tie, what color shirt. So Jesus and I have to spend a little more time in getting ready to see you guys. But he was talking about how communication with Jesus all the time, that we need to be talking. And if we are talking and visiting with Jesus all day about the little things, then the big things don't end up happening. It's when we ignore Jesus until all of a sudden our world's caving in, and then we pray, and we have problems. Now, by prayer, I don't mean that you have to be down on your knees with your eyes closed, your hands folded. For one reason, that's hard to drive that way. And if you start driving that way, our first responders are going to be really busy. But we need to be in an attitude of prayer, making sure that those things that we do are being bathed. And when people cut us off on the highway, we need to pray for them. I know, I'm preaching at me right now. Amy already knows that. We need to, and I need to, but it's not easy, is it? But we need to be in that type of an attitude. So the second thing we need to do, we need to pray about everything. Third thing is we need to trust God in all things. It's really easy when things are going great to trust God, you know, hey. You know, got a new job, got a new house, got a new car, got a big paycheck. Everything is wonderful. It's okay. It's harder when the things aren't going so well. There's an ad for an insurance company. And only those of you that tend to watch SEC games will probably ever see it, because I think it's from a SEC area insurance company. But it's talking about this lady who had lost her house to a fire, completely destroyed everything. But this insurance company was awesome, replaced everything. A few years later, a tornado came through, wiped out that second house. I'm thinking, I'm not insuring her anymore. But the point about it was, you know, here she was. You know, most of us are happy when things are going well. Well, she didn't just lose one house, she lost two. But she was content and happy because her insurance company took care of it. We should be content and happy because God is in control, no matter what happens, good things or bad things. Martin Rinkert was a minister of a town in Ellensburg, Germany, a little over 350 years ago, during the 30 Years' War. He'd gone to school, he got his first congregation, and as it turned out, it was in his hometown. He is ordained. He started preaching. 1 year into his ministry, the 30 Years' War started. Just so happened that there was also something else going on in Europe at that time, called the Black Death, the plague. So during his 30 years of ministry, he conducted over 8,000 funerals. A year after the 30 years war ended, he died. He had a 32-year ministry. 1 year before the 30 years war, 1 year after, he had the 30 years war and the Black Death to deal with, and he was doing all that. Yet, with all that going on, he wrote a hymn. You may have heard it. Let me read you some of the words to it. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, and whom his world rejoices. Now, can you imagine 8,000 funerals in 30 years? You're talking almost, how many days are in 30 years? I mean, he's probably doing more than one a day. All the death that was going on, all the pain and anguish of fighting, yet he writes this very uplifting hymn that we've all, well, most of us, if not all of us, have sang. Can we take that same attitude in what's going on in the tough times, when things aren't going well? It's easy to trust God when things are going great, but the true test of our faith is when we trust Him in the tough times. And there's going to be tough times. The final part of that passage, verse 8, says that we should think about the right things. How many of you are West Virginia fans? Sorry, guys. Y'all should have kicked our butts last night. You did for 23 minutes. You didn't finish strong. Well, I will tell you, I was about ready to go to bed. And I was like, and if it had been a 9 o'clock start instead of a 7 o'clock start, I'd have never seen UK win that game. But I did have it taped, so I'd have been okay. The thing is, the University of Kentucky's basketball team has not played well most of the year. Unfortunately for you guys, that's the best game they played all year. But in difficult times, they're playing a highly ranked team. Things are not going well for them, for UK. They have the crowd that's stirred up and everything is wrong. But yet through it, they were able to stay positive enough with each other to initiate a comeback and win. Those of us are going to have difficult times. We're going to have times when we feel like we're 17 points down with only 16 and a half minutes left. But we can't quit. It says we need to think about these things. Think about the right things. If it's excellent, admirable, true, holy, just, pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. Excellent, admirable, true, holy, just, pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. If we start focusing on that type of things rather than having stinking thinking, our life will change. If we are having a tough time and all we can do is think about how awful it is, you know, God hates us. God doesn't, he's treating us badly. Because guess what? He's not. You know, the little star I put on the kids. Maybe if you're thinking that way, I need to put a star in your hand to realize that you're a star in God's eyes. God takes care of us. God wants good things for us. So what do we do? We either think about the right things and get through these tough times, or we fail to think about the right things and we struggle. I don't know about you guys. I know some of you. But, you know, maybe some of you all think differently than I do. How many of you like to be unhappy? Nobody? You know, I mean, there's another commercial where the people, you know, maybe you like your soda cans pre-shook and shaked and your glass walls that you run into and sitting in gum. Well, maybe those are you guys. I don't know. No. Most of us, hopefully all of us in here, don't like to be unhappy. The best way not to be unhappy? It's to realize those 8 things that God gave us to think on. Think on those things and then take that positive thinking with you. Instead of looking at the negative side of things, look at the positive side of things. Rather than looking at, man, I got to go listen to Tim preach, think, hey, you get to go down and eat food afterwards. Instead of thinking, oh, man, it's rainy outside, think it's not snow. You know, when I was shoveling back and grumpy about it, I kept trying to remind myself, there was a church in Erie that wanted a pastor. And I got happy real quick. You know, Lord takes care of us. So thank you, first responders. You don't have an easy job. You have a job that often gets overlooked and shouldn't be. So we want to say thank you. But we want you to remember that when you're having those bad days and those tough times, that we're praying for you. And if you ever need someone to lean on, that we're here for you just like you're there for us. So thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the abilities that we have. We thank you for the men and women that are first responders in our community who help take care of us when we are in dire times, whether fires or accidents or whatever it may be, that they are there and trained to do the best they can to help us. So, Father, we lift them up to you, ask that you strengthen them, but also I ask that you help each of us to be there for them when they need us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.